The first non-Arab mention of Khazaria after the fatal year 965 seems to occur in a travel report by Ibrahim ibn Yaqub, the Spanish Jewish ambassador to Otto the Great, who, writing probably in 973, describes the Khazars as still flourishing in his time. Next in chronological order is the account in the Russian Chronicle of Jews from Khazaria arriving in Kiev AD 986 in their misfired attempt to convert Vladimir to their faith. As we enter the 11th century, we read first of the already mentioned joint Byzantine-Rus campaign of 1016 against Khazaria, in which the country was once more defeated. The event is reported by a fairly reliable source, the 12th century Byzantine chronicler Cadrinus. A considerable force was apparently needed, for Cadrinus speaks of a Byzantine fleet supported by an army of Russians. The Khazars evidently had the qualities of a jack-in-the-box derived from their Turkish origin, or Mosaic faith, or both. Cadrinus also says that the name of the defeated Khazar leader was Georgius Zul. Georgius is a Christian name. We know from an earlier report that there were Christians as well as Muslims in the Khan's army. The next mention of the Khazars is a laconic entry in the Russian Chronicle for the year 1023, according to which, quote, Prince Mitislav marched against his brother, Prince Yaroslav, with a force of Khazars and Khashoggians, end quote. Now, Mitislav was the ruler of the short-lived principality of Tamatarkan, centered on the Khazar town of Tamatarka, now Taman, on the eastern side of the Straits of Kerch. This, as already said, was the only Khazar territory that the Rus occupied after their victory of 965. The Khazars in Mitislav's army were thus probably levied from the local population by the Russian prince. 7 years later, AD 1030, a Khazar army is reported to have defeated a Kurdish invading force, killed 10,000 of its men, and captured their equipment. This would be added evidence that the Khazars were still very much alive and kicking, if one could take the report at face value. But it comes from a single 12th century Arab source, Ibn al-Athir, not considered very reliable. Plodding on in our chronology, anxious to pick up what morsels of evidence are left, we come across a curious tale about an obscure Christian saint, Eustratius. Around AD 1100, he was apparently a prisoner in Kherson in the Crimea, and was ill-treated by his Jewish master, who forced ritual Passover food on him. One need not put much trust in the authenticity of the story. Saint Eustratius is said to have survived 15 days on the cross. The point is that it takes a strong Jewish influence in the town for granted. In Kherson, of all places, a town nominally under Christian rule, which the Byzantines tried to deny to the Khazars, which was conquered by Vladimir, but reverted later, circa 990, to Byzantium. They were still equally powerful in Tamatarkan. For the year 1079, the Russian Chronicle has an obscure entry, quote, The Khazars of Tamatarkan took Oleg prisoner and shipped him overseas to Sargrad, Constantinople. End quote. That is all. Obviously, the Byzantines were engaged in one of their cloak-and-dagger intrigues, favoring one Russian prince against his competitors. But we again find that the Khazars must have wielded considerable power in this Russian town if they were able to capture and dispatch a Russian prince. 4 years later, Oleg, having come to terms with the Byzantines, was allowed to return to Tamatarkan, where, quote, he slaughtered the Khazars who had counseled the death of his brother and had plotted against himself, end quote. Oleg's brother, Roman, had actually been killed by the Kipchak Cumans in the same year as the Khazars captured Oleg. Did they also engineer his brother's murder by the Cumans? Or were they victims of the Byzantines' Machiavellian game of playing off Khazars and Rus against each other? At any rate, we are approaching the end of the 11th century, and they are still very much on the scene. A few years later, sub anno 1106, the Russian Chronicle has another laconic entry, according to which the Polovtsi, that is, the Cumans, raided the vicinity of Tsaritsk, west of Kiev, and the Russian prince sent a force out to pursue them under the command of the three generals, Yan, Puchyata, and Ivan the Khazar. This is the last mention of the Khazars in the old Russian chronicle, which stops 10 years later in 1116. But in the second half of the 12th century, two Persian poets, Kakani, circa 1106 to 1190, and the better known Nizami, circa 1141 to 1203, mention in their epics a joint Khazar-Rus invasion of Shirvan during their lifetime. Although they indulged in the writing of poetry, they deserve to be taken seriously as they spent most of their lives as civil servants in the Caucasus and had an intimate knowledge of Caucasian tribes. Kakani speaks of Dervent Khazars, Darbend being the defile or turnstile between the Caucasus and the Black Sea, through which the Khazars used to raid Georgia in the good old days of the 7th century before they developed a more sedate style of life. Did they revert, towards the end, to the unsettled nomad warrior habits of their youth? After, or possibly before, these Persian testimonies, we have the tantalizingly short and grumpy remarks of that famed Jewish traveler, Rabbi Patakia of Regensburg, quoted earlier on. We remember that he was so huffed by the lack of Talmudic learning among the Khazar Jews of the Crimean region that when he crossed Khazaria proper, he only heard the wailing of women and the barking of dogs. Was this merely a hyperbole to express his displeasure, or was he crossing a region devastated by a recent Cuman raid? The date is between 1170 and 1185. The 12th century was drawing to its close, and the Cumans were now the omnipresent rulers of the steppes. As we enter the 13th century, the darkness thickens, and even our meager sources dry up. But there is at least one reference which comes from an excellent witness. It is the last mention of the Khazars as a nation, and is dated between 1245 to 1247. By that time, the Mongols had already swept the Cumans out of Eurasia and established the greatest nomad empire the world had as yet seen, extending from Hungary to China. In 1245, Pope Innocent IV sent a mission to Batu Khan, grandson of Genghis Khan, ruler of the western part of the Mongol Empire, to explore the possibilities of an understanding with this new world power, and also, no doubt, to obtain information about its military strength. Head of this mission was the 60-year-old Franciscan friar Ioannis de Plano Carpini. He was a contemporary and disciple of St. Francis of Assisi, but also an experienced traveler and church diplomat who had held high offices in the hierarchy. The mission set out on Easter Day, 1245, from Cologne, traversed Germany, crossed the Dnieper and the Don, and arrived 1 year later at the capital of Batu Khan and his golden horde in the Volga estuary, the town of Sarai Batu, alias Saxon, alias Itil. After his return to the West, Carpini wrote his celebrated Historica Mongolorum. It contains, amidst a wealth of historical, ethnographical, and military data, also a list of the people living in the regions visited by him. In this list, enumerating the people of the Northern Caucasus, he mentions, along with the Alans and the Tcherkessians, the Khazars observing the Jewish religion. It is, as already said, the last known mention of them before the curtain falls. But it took a long time until their memory was effaced. Genovese and Venetian merchants kept referring to the Crimea as Khazaria, and that name occurs in Italian documents as late as the 16th century. This was, however, by that time merely a geographical designation, commemorating a vanished nation.